So we are in Genesis chapter 27. As we have been going through this, the book of Genesis, and now we are, we looked at the life of Isaac last week. As we come to this chapter, chapter 27, it's a very sad chapter. It's one of the saddest chapter in the Bible, because all you see here is people who are out of obedience. You know, there is a hymn, a popular old hymn, which goes like, trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But when you come to this chapter 27, you can turn that around and literally title this chapter as doubt and disobedience. Because whether it's Isaac, whether it's Rebecca, whether it's Jacob or Esau, all of them are acting out of faith. And so as we go through this chapter, and we'll go through it very quickly, there's some great parenting advice in this chapter, things that we need to look at, especially those of us who are parents. There's some lessons for us couples to learn, those of us who are married. So turn with me to chapter 27 and verse 1. It says, now it came to pass, when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son. And he answered him, here I am. Then he said, behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, bring me game and make savory food for me that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death. So here we have a sad start. Isaac, he's very much aware of the will of God. And if you go back to the Genesis 25, God had clearly spoken to Rebekah, and we are pretty sure that Rebekah conveyed that message to Isaac, that the blessing was supposed to belong to Jacob. But here, Isaac is trying to overrule what God's purpose is. And he is trying to give his blessing to Esau. You know, that's his first mistake. But for those of us who are couples, right? Here you see Isaac is making this decision, but there is no consultation with his wife. He made that decision. He never spoke to Rebekah. Rebekah overheard this conversation, okay? And before we go any further, one thing that I do want to mention, you know, when we read this kind of an account, just like when Isaac, we look at the story of Isaac when he was young and Abraham was going to, God asked Abraham to sacrifice him. Sometimes we have this Sunday school picture in our mind that, okay, Isaac was maybe 10, 12 years old or 15 years old. When we come to this, in reality, he was over 30. When we come to this story, we look at this Jacob and Esau and we think, okay, these are teenage boys and the parents are going to bless them and whatnot. And that's a wrong understanding. At this stage, Isaac is about 137 years old. And here he says that I'm going to be about to die. And I think one of the reasons why he felt that way because Ishmael, his brother, died when he was around 137. So what Isaac is saying is, okay, my life is pretty much over. Let me just set my house in order. Let me give the blessing that I need to give before I move on. But in reality, he lived another 43 years after this episode that we are studying right now. And when we come to Jacob and Esau, at this stage in their life, they are roughly around 77 years of age. You know, some of us complain when our children are in 20s and they're not out of the house. Think about a 77-year-old boy is living in the house and they are not married or anything. Still parents, right? And look at it. the mother is telling Jacob what to do, and it's a sad, sad situation. So just keep that in back of your mind that at this stage, both Jacob and Esau are about 77 years of age. And so we see that Rebecca hears this conversation, and Rebecca knows, right? Rebecca knows what is the will of God. God had told her that the younger will rule the older, right? But here's a point that all of us need to understand. Okay, a lot of times when we do things, especially if we are involved in church, in our spiritual life, although we are grounded into the word, right? We try to help God out, right? It's not just that you know the will of God. It's not just that you do the will of God, but you have to do it in God's way. And when you don't do things in God's way, then you are bringing a whole lot of trouble, as we will see at the end of the chapter, on yourself. You know, when you look at, if you look at the Old Testament, when you look at the account of Moses, when he kills the Egyptian, God never told him to kill an Egyptian. That is him doing things on his own way instead of God's way, right? When you come to 2 Samuel, when you look at the account of David trying to bring the ark back into Jerusalem, there was nothing wrong with bringing the ark to Jerusalem, right? So the will of God, he knew exactly what he needed to do. Yes, the ark needed to come into Jerusalem, but the way he did it was not how he was supposed to do it. And that caused a life, right? Later on, when he was studying the scripture, he understood that the only people who can bring the ark back are the Levites. When he went to pick up the ark, there was a big crowd. I mean, it was a huge crowd that was going to bring the ark back into Jerusalem. Was there anything wrong with bringing the ark back to Jerusalem? No, but it is the way. And that's an important lesson for all of us to learn, right? Because a lot of times we try to help God out. And a lot of times we do things where we say the ends justifies the means. You know, yeah, I did this wrong way. Yes, I'm out of the step of the word of God, but my intentions were good. And when you have that mentality, that's a problem. Yes, knowing the will of God is good, right? Doing the will of God is good, but it has to be done the God's way. And that's what Rebecca fails to do. Was she doing anything that was wrong or was not going to happen? No. But here we see the lack of faith. As we see that Isaac is trying to give a blessing to Esau, he's out of disobedience. He knows exactly who the blessing belongs to, right? Yet he's trying to overrule what God's wishes are, and he's trying to bless Esau, which is a representation of a flesh, right? That he wants, he liked the meat he cooked. He was looking at an outside appearance. He was looking at Esau, as we discussed. You know, Esau was a man's man, right? He was the guy, was built, was good looking. He was a hunter. He was a man's man. And Esau said, oh no, he's the one who should get the blessing. Meanwhile, Jacob, you know, he was a mama's boy. He liked to work with his mom in the kitchen. He liked to cook and stuff like that. You know, he was not an outdoorsman. So Isaac felt that Esau is the one who should be blessed. And when we look at that outside appearance and we try to do, right, that's the same thing we see when it came a time to select a new king, right? When Samuel went to David's home, what did he do? Right? He first looked at the first son. Oh, this is a guy who could be a king. He's good looking. He's tall. He's strong. You know, he could be. And he went one son by another, one another. But God had David in mind, you know. So it's very important thing. So here, Rebecca is trying to help God out. How many mothers try to help God out with their kids? You know, how many of us do that? You know, and it's a lesson that we need to learn. So here is when we get to the verse 11, right? And it's a long chapter, so I'm going to go a little fast. Verse 10, it says, then you shall take it to your father that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death. Right? Deceiving. But look at Jacob. Look at Jacob's unfaithfulness or disobedience. It says, Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will fill me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. Okay? So to him, it's not problem deceiving. What's his problem? That I'm going to get caught. Right? All the kids who are sitting here, all the kids who are listening, so many times we have this attitude that, look, at, you know what? I know I shouldn't do this, but the only thing that we have in the back of our mind is, oh, as long as my parents don't find out, or as long as I don't get caught. And that's what Jacob is trying to say over here. But what if my father finds out and he thinks I'm a deceiver? He has no problem deceiving. He has no problem with that scheme, you know, okay, I'm going to go and do it. He just wants to make sure he doesn't get caught. Okay? And so many of us, you know, who have grown up in church, so many of us who are casual Christians are so concerned, you know, from the outside appearance, we are all Christian. We have the tie, you know, we have the I love you Jesus scarf. We have the Bible, we have the cross. So from the outward appearance, we look like Christians. But inside, it's all empty and hollow. And we, you know, we are so concerned about our reputation rather than our character. You know, we are so much concerned about our reputation rather than our character. You know, and if I put it in today's term, you know, when you go in the grocery store and when you walk through the cereal aisle, when you see the cereal box and you see the picture, that's the reputation. It tells you all the glamour, right? Or if you're going to go pick a fruit, if you buy a bushel of apple or something, the apples that are on the top, they are perfect, right? But what's inside, what's underneath, that's the character. What's inside the cereal box is the character, right? What's inside us, right? Man's character is, what do you do when nobody is watching? How do you speak? How do you talk? How do you act when those who don't know you, you go to church? How do you act around them, right? When it's for those of us who are men over here, right? I mean, kids, whoever it is, right? What channel do you turn on to when you are? It's late night and nobody's there. You know, what are you watching? What are you reading? What are you thinking? It's very, very important that our character is good. You know, our character is good. Moving on. Perhaps my father will fill me and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. But his mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me. And he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hand and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit, and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord your God brought it to me. Uh-oh. Right? Look at here. He knows the right answer. Right? A lot of us know how to speak Christianese. You know, we know when to say praise the Lord, and we know how when to say hallelujah. You know, and when certain things happen, we say, oh, yeah, that's God's blessing, or God gave me this, or whatever. This here is a blasphemy. This is taking God's name in vain. Okay? Did God abort this game to him? No. It was part of a deceivement, right? He was deceiving his father here. But he says he credits it to God. We need to be careful of that we don't do what we read about here. That when we know that we are out of the will of God, we know that we are acting in a disobedient, yet we give credit to God. And that's taking God's name in vain. Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are of the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother's Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, "Are you really my son, Esau?" He said, "I am." He said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now, and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing, and blessed him, and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and the plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's son bow down to you. Curse be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." You know, and here, I want to make a point. You know, Isaac trusted his sense. When he heard Jacob, he said, "You smell like Esau, right? But you sound like Jacob." Because it was very hard to fake Jacob, you know, for Jacob to fake the voice of Esau, right? But he said, "Okay, I'm going to go along." He did not trust the word. He did not trust the word, right? And that's an important thing that we need to learn. Many times when we go to churches, when we look at the ministry, when we look at other people, you know, they smell like Christians. Okay, they feel like Christians. But what is the teaching? What are they teaching? When you go to that church, and it may look like it's a very successful church, you know, there might be 1,000 people there. They might be very, very prosperous. They probably have a big building and a lot of programs, right? But you need to trust the word. What are they teaching? What is it that are they teaching you according to the scripture? Because it's only the word of God that will not let you down. And there are so many of us go by our feelings. You know, we go by our feelings instead of trusting the word. You know, we see the things that are going around us and we are fearful. And we forget that there are 365 fear not in the Bible. You know, right now, especially with all this COVID going on, it's like, is our God not able to protect us from the COVID? Right? There are a lot of things going on in the world right now. Trust the word. You know, and too many of us are too concerned about how we feel. You know, and one of the things, you know, and now I'm going off the script, but, you know, in the New Testament, it says, Bible says, they will know you by the love that you have for each other. You know, we are commanded to love others. It's a commandment. It's not a request. It's a commandment, right? So it's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. And whether we are a husband and a wife, maybe you are struggling in your marriage or whatever the case might be, whatever the relationship might be, right? We are commanded to love people. And sometimes we need to follow. Sometimes you need to follow the commandment and then the feeling will follow. Okay? You might not start by loving the person, but if you follow the commandment, that love will follow. Okay? The other thing that we do is so many times, our loyalty lies with our churches. Oh, I've been going to this church for 20 years, or I've been going to this church for 30 years. Okay? My kids grew up here. Doesn't matter what they are teaching. Doesn't matter if I'm getting a spiritual food or not, right? So sometimes we know we are not getting any spiritual food. Sometimes we know that we are actually hurting our children by attending this church because there is nothing there. You know, we know it's a church of Sardis, that it's a dead church. Yet, right? Oh, I am loyal to my church. That is Isaacing it, meaning trusting your sense instead of trusting the word. Always, always. And who's the word in the Bible? When we talk about the word in the Bible, it's Jesus. He is the only one that will not let you down. Okay? Moving on. Now it happened as soon as, verse 30. Now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely, by the way, before I move on, you know, that blessing that we just read that Isaac gave to Jacob, if you go and see what God spoke to Abraham, it's pretty much the same blessing that God gave to Abraham. Right now, it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me." And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" So he said, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled. By the way, let me stop here. Was he a firstborn? He had given up that right of a firstborn, right? He sold it for a bowl of beans. Just keep that in mind. So he was not a man of his word, because he had, in those days, your word counted for something, okay? Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the word of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came with a deceit and has taken away your blessings." Now, was he right in saying that? Yes, maybe he had come in a deceit. But Isaac knew what the will of God was. Isaac knew, and at this time, I believe his conscience is speaking to him that he tried to move away from God's will. And he was trying to do something in his own strength. And instead of taking that responsibility, he's saying, "Your brother came in a deceit, and he took away your blessing." And Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplemented those two times. He took away my birthright, and now he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as a servant. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son?" And Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. What he had given up, what he had sold for a bowl of beans, now he's trying to regain once again. Okay? He wasn't interested in that spiritual leadership that comes with the being a firstborn in the family, especially in that society, in that family. He was willing to give that up to satisfy a fleshly need, right? And we looked at that when we were talking about that. Don't be careful what you are giving up to meet your fleshly needs. Don't compromise. Don't compromise by giving in so you have a fleshly satisfaction now and here. Okay? And now what he's trying to do is by serving him another dish, by serving in a little meat, he's trying to buy back what he sold off. Okay? And then Isaac, and this is a 77-year-old man, as I said, is weeping and crying for a blessing. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, "Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother, and it shall come to pass when you become restless, then you shall break his yoke from your neck." There's a lot of prophetic message in this verse. I don't have a time to go, you know, but throughout the history, if you look at the, you know, the Esau's descendants became the Edomites, right? And when you look at like Herod at the time of Jesus, who killed all those baby, see, he was a descendant of an Edomite. If you look at in the book of Esther, what's the guy's name? Haman, right? He was an Edomite. Throughout, when you look at the Bible, throughout the history, they were a pain in the neck, right? When the nation of Israel came out of Egypt, right? And when Moses said, "Let us pass through your land," right? "Let us pass through your land," they refused. They refused, right? But what did God say? "Do not make a war with your brother Edom. Go around." Okay, and there is a lot of prophetic, you know, when you look at it, when the time came, they had to settle in outside of the Jerusalem. They were driven away when in the 70 AD, when the Romans completely destroyed the temple and drew all the Jews out, you know, it is believed that they went and now into the area of Italy, Rome. Okay? And when we look at the Antichrist, when we look at all those stuff, right? All of that stuff plays in there. That it's from that region that an Antichrist is going to rise up. And that's why it says that you shall break his yoke from your neck. That time is coming, but we don't have time to go in much more details. 41, so Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, then I will kill my brother Jacob. What did the blessing was from Isaac to Jacob? That whoever curses Jacob, I will curse. And here Esau says, I will kill my brother Jacob. Think about that. And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? You know, when Rebekah decided to deceive Isaac, there were consequences. Now, as we looked at last time, right? Not last time, the time before, when parents have favorites, it's always a problem. It always creates a problem. Here Isaac liked or favored Esau, and he's trying to give a blessing to him, although it was outside of the will of God. Rebekah has a liking for Jacob, and she's trying to do all she can to bring a blessing. And I think she was right, because she knew the will of God, right? Yet she did it outside of the will of God, in a way that not in the way of God, okay? And she created a problem between two brothers. And you see that these two brothers are at each other's throat. And she said she sends Jacob away to her uncle's house, right? And he says it's going to be a few days. Those few days turned into two decades, 20 years. And Jacob never met his mother again. Rebekah never saw her son again. By the time Jacob came back, Rebekah was long gone. And when he meets his uncle, you know, he's going to be deceived. And we know we are going to look at that in a detail in coming weeks. As we turn to chapter 28, you know, we're going to see now we are going to be looking at the life of Jacob. You know, and I urge you not to miss next chapter, because we are going to see the salvation of Jacob. But here, as we end this Bible study, what I want to say is, you know, mothers, fathers, parents, you know, don't try to pry into your children's life. You know, instead pray. If you are praying for your children, don't try to direct God in how to do things. Don't try to help God out in his will. Okay, if you know what the will of God is, just trust him. Just trust him. Just pray. Spend time on your knees instead of trying to set everything up. Follow God's calendar. Follow God's timing. If you are praying for your kids, trust God, because he's faithful. Here we see the example of four people. All four people acting out of disobedience. All four people acting out in doubt, right? And what should be an encouragement to us here, right? Despite how they are, right? And every one of us who's sitting here, every one of us who's listening, we know we are a lot like Isaac and Rebekah, right? We are a lot like Isaac and Rebekah. But despite of their unfaithfulness, God shows that he is faithful, right? God shows he is faithful. And what God had planned, that is what came to fruition. So, you know, as we need to trust God with our our children. It may not, you know, and I'll be the first one to say that, I am not always so trusting. You know, I'm trying to, I look at what's going on and I'm trying to orchestrate, why are my kids not doing this, or why is this not happening in my kid's life? You know, they are this age and they should be further along, but whatever it is, you know, if our children are marriage age and there is, we don't see anything in the horizon, whatever the case might be, trust God, pray to God, and He is faithful to do what He has promised to do. Let's not try to help God out, because when we try to help God out, we end up Rebekahing, right? We are trying to act like Rebecca. And what happens is you drive your children away, and there is a rift, that it takes a long time for that rift to patch up once again. So just trust God. Trust God. And when you know the will of God, right, do the will of God, but in God's way. In God's way. Trust Him. We have a word here that guides us in everything that we have to do, right? Read the Bible. Stay in the Scripture. Stay close to the Scripture. And He is faithful to do what He has promised. Amen? Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus, Lord. Once again, we thank You and praise You for this time, Lord. As Your word says, Lord, that Your word never goes void. It does what it is intended to do, Lord. So as the word has been spoken, Lord, I pray that let it penetrate the heart of each and every one of us, Lord. Let it penetrate the heart of each person who is going to listen, Lord. And if there is any Isaac or a Rebecca attitude in our midst, Lord, if there is any Jacob or Esau amongst us, Lord, I pray that You remove that attitude from our heart, Lord. Cleanse us, that we may walk according to Your will, Lord, that we may do what You ask us to do, Lord, and that we walk in obedience, Lord. Lord, as Your word says, Lord, there is no way to please You besides an obedience and faith, Lord. So, Lord, forgive us for our unbelief, Lord. Forgive us for our disobedience, Lord, and that we may walk with You, Lord, not ahead of You, not behind You, but with You, Lord, in step with You as You direct us, Lord. We love You, Jesus. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.